Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud Ches. We are all the way on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. I don't ever remember being this far ahead. We're 10 lines into Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah. Today we're going to discuss the preparations that we did for the Kohen Gadol, that we trained, the training the Kohen Gadol went through during the 7 days that he was preparing for Yom HaKippurim. We're going to discuss the difference between the Kohanim Gadolim in the first Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim Gadolim in the second Beis HaMikdash in terms of the level of knowledge that they had. Then we're going to discuss how they would put the different animals in front of the Kohen during this, the Kohen Gadol during this time, and why certain animals were not passed in front of him and other animals were passed in front of him. We're also going to talk about what type of diet he should have, what types of foods he should eat, and what types of foods he should avoid. And that's going to lead us into a general discussion of the types of foods that could lead a person to become tameh, to become a zav or a balkeri. And once we're talking about becoming a balkeri, so on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about proper etiquette of a guest to avoid any suspicion of being a balkeri, or to avoid any chance that he's going to mess up the clothing or the sheets of his host. So how a guest should avoid doing or eating certain things. And then on Amud Beis, we're also going to talk about marrying a woman for a day as a person goes into town and out of town, and what the reason that we're not worried about Dam Chimud is in that situation. So we're going to talk, hopefully a little bit, we'll have time to talk about Dam Chimud, the concept of Dam Chimud, that when a woman gets excited about getting married, that there's an assumption that she's going to see Dam in some sort of Gzeres Chazal, that she's Tameya as a Nida, just from the excitement of the wedding alone. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis is going to tell us the warning that they would give the Kohen Gadol, and how they would have to cry about the fact that they had to warn him just in case he was a tzduki, and he would cry about the fact that they had to suspect him of being a tzduki. Okay, so let's pick up with the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Masrulo Zikenim Yizikne Beis Din. They would give him Zikenim from the Zikne Beis Din, V'koron L'fan of B'Seder Ayom. And the job of those Zikenim was to read it in front of him, the Seder Ayom, to teach him the Seder Ayom. Va'omrim, and they would say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Kra'a Tabificha, Kohen Gadol, you yourself should read the Seder Ayom. Shema Shachachta, or Shema Lo Lamanta. Maybe you forgot the Seder Ayom, or maybe you never learned it. So it's important right now that, meaning they would test him. They would say it first, and then he would have to say it after them to make sure that he knew exactly what he was doing. Now, how many Zakenim would they give him? So we had a Bryce earlier in Davdala that sounds like they would give him two Zakenim. Tos Yishanim writes that you don't need two, it's just Tov Mashnayim Mina Echad, but really one Zakain should be just fine also, just like Moshe Rabbeinu during the Shivas Yimei Amiluim. But Tosa Rush says, no, they needed two so that they could be meyid, that they taught him the proper halachos of Ketores, meaning that just in case it was ever questionable whether he was trained properly, this way there was edus there that he was trained properly. And they would tell him, maybe you forgot, or maybe you didn't learn. So the Gemara is going to explain, that's the difference between first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. In the first Beis HaMikdash, it's possible that he forgot. In the second Beis HaMikdash, it's possible that he never learned, because in the second Beis HaMikdash, people would buy the office of the Kohanim Gadol. So Sfasemis explains, that's Shema Shachachta is what they would say during the Zman of the first Beis HaMikdash. Shema Lo Lamadita is what they would say during the Zman of the second Beis HaMikdash, that the actual text of what they would tell the Kohen Gadol changed from the first Beis HaMikdash to the second Beis HaMikdash. However, the Sfasemis points out, it doesn't really sound that way from the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, sounds like they would say the entire text. Shema Shachachta, Shema Lo Lamadita, both in the first Beis HaMikdash and in the second Beis HaMikdash. Even though it was unlikely that he was Lo Lamadita in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, and perhaps in many instances, unlikely that he was Shachachta in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, but since historically both of those possibilities existed, they would say both of those phrases to him throughout all the Tekufos in history. Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris, on the morning of Erev Yom Kippurim, Ma'amidin Oso B'Shar Mizrach, they would stand him by the eastern gate, U'ma'avirin L'fan of Parim, Ve'elim, U'kvasim, and they would pass in front of him the bulls and the rams and the sheep, Kadeshia Makir Virugal Bavoda, so that he would recognize them and get used to the Avoda. As Rashi says, Makir Misponin Bibahemosa over Slofanov, Lase Salibo Bihilcho Sedrayom. He would pay attention to the animals that were being passed in front of him so that he would chazer over in his mind the halachas of the Sedrayom. The Marsha says this does not mean to say that they would pass the animals in front of him like a children's book, you know, there's the dog, there's the cat, you know, to identify the different animals, because tinok bar yoma knows how to identify the different animals. No, the point is, as he would see the animal, he would chazer over in his mind what the avoda is that you do with that animal, and that way it was a visual aid in chazering over the halachas of the avoda, as it gave some context to it, rather than just trying to think out of nothing, out of thin air, just trying to think of all the avodos. Throughout the 7 days, they would feed him whatever he wanted. Big discussion in the Rishonim. They wouldn't be monea any type of mishta. What about wine? Are you allowed to drink wine? So the Rishonim raised the question. How could he drink wine? The Gemara says in Tainus, the Kohanim Mishmar are not allowed to drink wine during the day. Kohanim Beisav are also bein bayom, bein belayla. He says maybe after he did the avoda and he already went to sleep, the Achronim are not so pleased with that, because even then it could be that he's not allowed to drink wine. Tosi Shonim says maybe not. They would not be monea other drinks, but wine they would be monea from him. He's not allowed to drink wine during that week. He had no dietary restrictions throughout the course of the week. But erev Yom Kippurim im chashecha lo yimanich nosa lechel harbe mipnei shamachel mevi asashena. But on erev Yom Kippurim, as it got late in the day on erev Yom Kippurim, they wouldn't let him eat too much on erev Yom Kippurim, because when one eats a lot, it causes him to sleep. And if a person sleeps, the chashash is that he's going to be maybe lidekeri, that he might become tamei, he might become a balkeri. The Yerushalmi asks, wait a second, one of the asara nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash was that there was never keri l'kohen gadol b'yom HaKippurim, that it never happened in all the years that a kohen gadol became a balkeri on Yom HaKippurim. So why are we worried that if he eats too much, he's going to become a balkeri? Now one could say, well, the reason it never happened is because they were careful about how they treated him. But no, we identify this as a nace. It was one of the nisim that it never happened. So Yerushalmi gives two answers. Number one, he says the nace was only a Mikdash Rishon, not a Mikdash Sheni, like most of the nisim were only a Mikdash Rishon, not a Mikdash Sheni. Second answer is that even if there was such a nace, we're not Samech al nace. You're not allowed to be Samech al nace. We have to do whatever we can. We have to do whatever ishtadlus we can to make sure this doesn't happen. And all that is in the Yerushalmi itself, raises that question and gives both of those answers. So says the Gemara, Bish lama shema shachach lechi. I understand very well that we're concerned that he might have forgotten the halachos. Elo shema lo lamad mimu kminu ki agavna. Are we really concerned about a kohen gadol that he never learned? Would we ever appoint someone as a kohen gadol if he never even bothered to learn the halachos? Va'atanya, don't we have a brisa that tells us what does it take to qualify as a kohen gadol? Va'kohen agadol me'achiv, she gadol me'achiv, he has to be greater than the other kohanim bekoach, binoy, bechachma, uviyosher, in koach, in physical strength, in beauty, in wisdom, in wealth. He has to be, so one of the items on the list is in chachma. Acherim omrim, and Acherim just point out, minayin shemein lo shachavah kohen megadlan oso. In terms of osher, if he doesn't have that much money, so the achavah kohanim, the other kohanim are responsible. If the most qualified kohen gadol is a guy who's not wealthy, so they should make him wealthy. They should give him a lot of money so that he will have all of the qualifications. So how do I know that? Tam lomer v'hakohen hagadol me'achav. Me'achav, that he's the kohen who's gadol from all the other kohanim. So So you see that you're supposed to be megadol him. We're supposed to raise him up above everybody else. But bottom line is, we're left with this question. How could it be that they have to say, Shema lo lamadta? Maybe you never learned? Of course he learned. They never would have made him kohen gadol if he didn't learn. So Rav Yosef lo kasha, kan b'mikdash rishon, kan b'mikdash sheni. No, the answer is very simple. In mikdash rishon, of course he learned, and they never would have appointed him as kohen gadol had he not learned. But in mikdash sheni, they would have appointed him as kohen gadol even if he didn't learn. Da Amar Rabbi Yasi, Tirkava Dedinri, Ailu Le Marta Bas Baitos, Liane Malka, Aldo Ukme Liyoshu Ben Gamla Bekani Ravrvi. Like, we know the story of the bag of money that Marta Bas Baitos, a very wealthy almana who married Yoshua Ben Gamla, gave Yanai HaMelech in order to appoint Yoshua ben Gamla as a Kohen Gadol. So it makes it sound like we're bad-mouthing Yoshua ben Gamla over here, that Yoshua ben Gamla, his office was purchased as Kohen Gadol, and we're trying to show that's how you have Kohanim Gadolim who don't know anything. But we are not saying that Yoshua ben Gamla didn't know anything, Chas v'shalom. We're just saying that when you have this kind of system where someone could pay their way into the Kohen Gadolah, it's likely that you will have Kohanim Gadolim who don't know anything. Tosfos Yeshana points out, the Alpha literally in the margin of the page, Ralph Bisha Chashav Haya, Yeshub and Gamlin, we know is Nodim Chashav, Kedashkon the Kaman, Shasa Shne Garolos, Shalashachroa, Shalzov, Maskirno Solashvach. We're going to see later on that he made an important tikkun in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and we always praise him for that tikkun that he made. And Varmin Perikla Yachbar, the Gemara in the second Perik of Maseches Basra tells us, Mitakonis Yeshua ben Gamla ve'elach, that from the times of the Takon of Yeshua ben Gamla ve'elach, they already had yeshivos where everyone was able to. He saved Torah. He saved the transmission of Torah for future generations. That's what the Gemara in Maseches Basra says, that he was Mesakin, that there would be Moshev b'chol ir v'ir, b'chol pelech b'pelech, melam de tinoko, so that every child should be able to learn Torah, because he used to be Mishiyesh lo'av aviv melam de Torah, Mishain Loav, and someone didn't have a father, Rachman al-Tzlan, so you wouldn't learn any Torah. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamla is one that came up with a system where we educate our children. He was a fantastic person, someone who's remembered very fondly in Jewish history. So says the Tos Shana, Mikol Makom, Hayu Bale Torah v'chashuvin mimenu, v'ruyin limnos yoser. But the Gemara is still trying to show, yes, he was a very chashuv person, but there were people who were more qualified than he was to be the Kohen Gadol, and that's what we're illustrating, that how the Kuna Gadola was decided was not based on the most qualified person. How the Kuna Gadola was decided was based on who paid the most money. Now it's interesting, we identify the qualities needed to be a Kohen Gadol. So we say, Koach, Noi, Chachma, and Osher. The Rambam is a fifth quality. The Rambam says, Mare, that he has to be Gadol Me'achav B'Mare as well. So it's a little bit odd, because it sounds like, that's the same, this is the Rambam in the fifth parak of Klei Migdash, it sounds like, Mary Korkus points out that Mare is the same thing as Noi. What's the difference between Mare and Noi? So he points out that the Rambam source is a Taurus Kohanim and a Tosefta, and the difference between Noi and Mare may be that Noi is Yofi Apanim, he has a nice looking face, and Mare is his posture and his height and his way he carries himself. That may be Mare. They may refer to different things. But according to the Rambam, it turns out, and according to this Tosefta, it turns out that there are five qualities that he has. So the Eitz Yosef points out, that's the diuk from the pasuk, Ha Gadol Me'achiv, that he is Ha Gadol B'Hei Dvarim. There are five things, five qualities that he's Gadol Me'achiv. Why does he need to be a Bal Koach? Who cares if he's a Bal Koach or not? That he works out a lot, that he has strength. So some of the avodas required a certain amount of Koach. They required a Koach Miuchad to do some of the avodas. That's why he needs to be a Bal Koach. That's what we know about Marta Basfaitus. Right? What do we know about Marta Basfaitus? The Tosefta says, it's quoted in Masecha Sukkah, that there were the Benosh of Marta Basfaitus would take the archosav shel shor agadol, would take the thighs of a large ox, and mahalich ekev b'tzad golde l'malon l'mizbeach, and would walk nonchalantly carrying the thighs of the largest ox, carrying it up to the mizbeach. So obviously he was a very, very strong person, the son of Marta Bas Baitos. That's the Achronim trying to figure out, is that Rabbi Shub and Gamla's son also? That person they're describing there in Masechah Sukkah? I mean, Rabbi Shub and Gamla, if he was a Bal Koach, it makes sense that they would that he would be a worthy Kohen Gadol as a Bal Koach. Or maybe her first husband was also a Kohen, and this was the child of her first husband, because the Rashi points out over here, she was an Almana Ashira, she was wealthy from her first husband who had passed away, and then she married Yehoshua ben Gamla, and she used her first husband's money to bribe Yanai HaMelech to get Yehoshua ben Gamla into the office of Kohuna Gedola. So the Achronim are not sure if this son that's described in Masechta Sukkah and in the Tosefta is the son of Yehoshua ben Gamla or not. If it was the son of Yehoshua ben Gamla, it's interesting that it calls the guy the Benosh al Marta Bas Baitos. That would mean that she was pretty, she was a really Isha Chashuva, she was a pretty Chashuva woman, in order to, if we're going to call her children by her and not by her husband, who was the Kohen Gadol. He was no slouch himself, he was Yehoshua ben Gamla, he's someone who's remembered very fondly in Jewish history, like we pointed out, but that would say something about the Chashivus of this woman if we refer to her son as the Benosh al Marta Bas Baitos. Some ask that over here, why do we even, the Gemara wants to prove that in order to be a Kohen Gadol you need to be qualified. So we quote a Braisa, that you need to be a Bal Chachma, that you need to be knowledgeable. So we quote a Braisa that lists the qualities. And then the Braisa says that Acherim Omrim, that if the guy is not rich, the other Kohanim have to make him rich. What does Achirim Omrim have anything to do with the Raya? Why don't we just stop short of Achirim Omrim, quote the part of the Braisa that's relevant? Typically, we're not going to quote the entire Braisa that has absolutely no relevance to the Sugya. Why would we quote the Shita of Achirim? It has absolutely nothing to do with what we're trying to prove. What we're trying to prove is just that the Kohen Gadol should be a Bal Chachma. So in the Iyun Yaakov, he says, no, we need the Achirim Omrim over here. Because it had not been for the Achirim Omrim, we would have thought that when we say that he has to be a Chacham, he just has to be a Chacham Me'achid. He has to be more of a Chacham than everybody else. So if the whole group of Kohanim are all a bunch of Amaratzim Daraisa, so he's an Amaritz Rabbanon. He's a lower level of Amaritz and a higher level Amaritz. So he'd be able to serve as a Kohen Gadol also. But it wouldn't necessarily show us that he has to actually be a Talmud Chacham. So that's why we quote Achirim, that Darshan from the Mem, Me'achiv, that Yigadleu Mishalachiv HaKohanim, that Me'achiv means that they should raise him up. So the drasha of the Tanakhama that it says that he has to be Gadol B'Chachma means a Chacham Mamish, not just more than Achiv, because the Mem Me'achiv is darshaned already for another drasha according to Achirim. And therefore, Chacham must mean that he's actually a Chacham, not just Chacham Me'achiv, not just that he's more of a Chacham than anybody else. That's how the Yun Yaakov suggests to answer this question. The Rambam Paskins also in Klei Migdash Parakei Halacha Beis that the din that a Kohen Gadol has to be Gadol Me'achiv B'Koach Menoy B'Chachma B'Yosher, these are all dinim lechatchila, but the Eved, he could still, the minoy of a Kohen Gadol is still effective, he still counts as a Kohen Gadol even if he doesn't have any of these qualities. And it's probably the Rambam gets it from here, because we're saying that when in the whole Mikdash Sheni people didn't have these qualities and they still counted as a Kohen Gadol. Still, whatever we can correct we should. If he's not wealthy, so we have to make him wealthy. Whatever is not correctable, if he's not a Chacham, so maybe we should try to teach him a little bit, but you're not going to, it's not so simple to turn a person into, he has to want that. It's not so simple to turn a person into a Chacham. He has to put a lot of dedication and effort into becoming a Chacham. Okay, so right in the Gemara now, the two dots. Erev Yom HaKippurim Shachri. So the Mishnah said that on Erev Yom HaKippurim in the morning, they would bring all these animals in front of him, so to let him chazer over the halachos of the avoda in his mind. So they bring parim, elim, kvasim. So Tana af hasi'irim. So one of the Tanaim taught that even though it doesn't mention it in the Mishnah, they would bring the si'irim also, the si'ir la'Hashem, the si'ir la'Azazel. He could remind himself of that critical part of the avoda. So says Gemara, that's a startling omission from our Mishnah. V'tana didan, ma'itayim alo tana si'irim. First thing you think of when you think of avoda si'ir la'Kippurim is si'ir la'Hashem, si'ir la'Azazel. How could they not? How could the Tana of our Mishnah not have mentioned anything about bringing Seirim in front of him? So Kivin Dal Chet Ka Asu Chol Shadaite. Unbelievable, says Gemara. Since it comes, the Seirim are there as a result of an Aveira, so it's going to cause him to become upset. And we don't want to upset him by bringing the Seirim in front of him. We don't want to remind him about Averos of Klal Yisrael. You would think it's a healthy thing to remind him about Averos of Klal Yisrael. Take the Avodah seriously. This is what he's trying to be Mechaper. No, we want him to be Besimcha. We don't want him to have a Chalisha Sadas. Frakta Gemara Yachi Parnami Al Chet Hu Da'asi. Well, the par is also for a chet. So how can we bring the parim in front of him? So par kiven dal love alach vakoanim hu daasi vach vakoanim iika inish to ispe milsa made the other le mahadle b'tshuva. Well, the par, yes, it comes for a chet, but it comes for whose chet? For his chet, for the chet of the other kohanim. So since it comes for those chetaim, if that's something he could do something about, so we want to remind him about the chetaim of he and his friends, so that maybe he can inspire them to do tshuva. But b'kuli Yisrael lo yada, but there's no way he's familiar with all of Klal Yisrael that he's going to be able to inspire all of Klal Yisrael to tshuva, to be able to speak with them and get them to mend their ways. That he's not going to be able to do. It's just going to serve to depress him, because he's not going to be able to do anything about it. Amar Ravina, Hainadam Rienshi, that's what people tell us. That's what people like to say, the expression, Ibar Achtech Daila Havi Chazi B'Shuka Kameh Lo Tachlif, that if your relative is someone who works as a tax collector for the king, maybe you shouldn't pass in front of him in the marketplace, meaning he knows what's going on with you. So since he knows what's going on with you, he'll know when you have money. So if you have any money, you don't want to be around that relative who's the tax collector, because he'll know he'll ask you for the money. So you stay away from such a person, because people who you're close with, people who you're familiar with, you know what's going on in their lives. So the Kohen Gadol was familiar with what was going on in the lives of the other Kohanim, but not what was going on in the lives of all of Klal Klal Yisrael. And the Yerushalmi also asks on the Mishnah why it doesn't say Sa'ir. The Yerushalmi, though, doesn't say the same answer. Our Gemara says it doesn't mention the Sa'irim because it will depress him. The Yerushalmi says that since the Matan Dam of the Par and the Sa'ir are the same, and the whole point of bringing the animal is just to remind him of what the Avoda was with each animal, when he sees the Par, that will remind him of the Sa'ir. So it wasn't necessary to bring the Sa'ir in front of him. So the Tosri 11 just points out that the Kasha, the Yerushalmi, is only on the Seal Hashem, but the Seal Azazel, it's not the same as the Matan Dam of the Par. It's a totally different Avoda, the Seal Azazel. So maybe that's what the Bavli is coming to address. That the Seal Azazel is Al Ched Kasu, maybe. So that's the. That's why they didn't bring Seirim. Kol Shivas Hayam Lo Yamanu. So now we're just going to get into a whole list of different foods and the effect that they have on a person's tumah status. So the Mishnah said throughout all 7 days in advance of Yom HaKippurim, he could eat or drink whatever he wants, except on Erev Yom HaKippurim, Im Chashecha, they would limit the amount of his food intake. Because if he ate too much, he would fall asleep, and if he falls asleep, it would likely lead to him becoming a Balkari. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Akusa Omer, Machilin also Slasos. Even though he's allowed to eat whatever he wants, we would dafka give him flour and eggs in order to serve as a diuretic. That's what Rashi understands. Other Rishonim don't agree. They don't think that's true in terms of that diet, that eggs will loosen a person's bowels. So they assume the opposite, maybe. So they say, no, that's a bad idea to give him eggs, because eggs will cause him to become a Balkari. Tanya, Sumchusam Mishum Rameir, Ein Machilin also Lo Avi, Varmila Lo Avivi, V'yesham Aflo Yayin Lavan. So Aleph Beis Yud is a Rashi Tevis, and so is Aleph Beis Yud for different fruits. So the Gemara explains what we're talking about. Lo Aleph Beis Yud, what would we not feed him? Lo Esrog, V'lo Beitzim, V'lo Yayin Yashan. We wouldn't give him Esrog, we wouldn't give him eggs, we wouldn't give him Yayin old wine. V'armila Lo Avivi, and some add another item to the list. Lo Esrog, V'lo Beitzim, V'lo Basar Shamin. We wouldn't give him fatty meat, velo yayin yashan, and also aged wine. We wouldn't give him v'yeshamim aflo yayin lavan, mipnei shayayin lavan maybe yasadim de tuma. And some say we also wouldn't give him white wine because white wine also brings a person to tuma. So that's in terms of the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol, even though we do not hold back any machal mishta from him, there are certain dietary suggestions that we have and certain things that we try to keep him away from. So that's in order to avoid any tumah problems. Tanu Rabbanan, on a similar note, the Brisa tells us, Zav, when it comes to a Zav, if a person sees Ziva, so Ziva we have to realize is different than Balkari. Balkari is a person has seminal emission, so that makes him a Balkari, and that happens whether it's in the context of Tashma Shamita, not in the context of Tashma Shamita, whatever, that's a Balkari, it's a natural process of the body. Zav is an illness, it's some type of illness, and it's a different flow, it's a different liquid that comes out of the body. We don't have it anymore, but there are many halachic differences between a Zav and a Balkari. One of the halachic differences is that if the incidence of ziva is attributable to some event that happened or to some food that he ate, something that caused the ziva to come about, it's not metame the person, it's not metame the guy. But balkeri, even it doesn't matter if it happens ba'ones, even if it happens ba'ones, it happened because of some event that it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if it's because he ate a certain type of food or anything like that. It's totally irrelevant. He's still going to become tame. So zav, when a person becomes a zav, tolun lo b'machal, we try to figure out what type of food that he ate. And if he ate a food that's maybe the day ziva, we say, it's a ziva ba'ones. He became a zav ba'ones. V'kol minei machal. And Elazar ben Pinchas on Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, ein machilin also. He says, Elazar ben Pinchas says, b'shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, we wouldn't feed back to the Kohen Gadol, lo chagvi v'lo gavam, v'lo kol dvar ma'mavi in the day tumah. Not the Rashi Tevz chagvi, not gavam, and not anything that's spelled in the day tumah. Not milk, not cheese, not eggs, not wine. Velo gabam, may grease and shalpul, water that was beans were soaked in. Ubasar shamin and fatty meat. Umarius and Marius. I'm not sure what Marius is. The different items. Lo kol dvar mamavil detumah suyemai. What are we then adding when we say we wouldn't give him anything that's maybe lidei tumah? So la suye hadatan rabban comes to teach us the following items also not to give him. Chamisha devarim mevi nesadim lidei tumah. There are five things that we assume will lead a person to become tameh. Ve'eluhein, and they are hashum. If a person eats garlic, we assume that garlic could be mevili de tumah. Now it's mevili de tumah, but it also does a lot of wonderful things. The Gemara Maseches Baba Kama and Daf Pei Beis tells us that from Takanas Ezra they would eat garlic on the erev Shabbos mishum mitzvah sona, meaning it's mevili de tumah, but that's a good thing in certain times. Meaning it's marbe the zera. The Gemara says is one of the things that it does. Matzil the panim, it gives a person more of a glow to his face, but it's marba the zera, and that's what we want, because there's a mitzvah sona on Friday night. We want to increase the chance of conception on Friday night, so that's why people would eat garlic on Fridays. But it's, since it's maybe the day tuma, it's certainly something we would want to keep away from the Kohen Gadol. Vashachlayim and kress, vichalgalogos, vabetzim vagargir, and chalgalogos, whatever that is, and eggs, and gargir, whatever that is. Vietze achra la sada lukot oros, tana mishmedra meir, zeg gargir. That's a reference to gargir. Amra biyochlan, lama nikra shman oros. Why is it called Oros? If it's gargir, why does the pasuk in Malachim refer to it as oros? Shemi'iros ha'se'inayim, that eating this gargir causes one's eyes to light up. That meaning not that your eyes shine, but that you're able to see better. Amrafuna gargir miyachlo achlo ochlo. So if you're able to eat the gargir, that's great. You should eat it. It's a very healthy thing. It's good for the eyes. Vimlav maviro al gabe enav. And if you can't eat it, if you can't take it orally, at least put it over your eyes, and that will also help if you apply it directly to the eyes. Amrav papa. Begargira matzarna'a, but that's only the really strong gargir, the ones that grow on the border of a field where there's nothing else around it. So because if it grows around other things, the other things can take away some of its kalach, can suck out some of its nutrients. So we need the gargir in its rawest and purest form in order to be able to really be effective at helping a person see. Amrav Gidol Amrav. Once we're talking about tumah and what's maybe lide tumah, what causes a person to become a valkari, so we mentioned some etiquette. Achsenai, a person who's a guest, lo yochal beitzim, v'lo yisham betalisu shel balabais. He should not eat eggs, and he shouldn't sleep with the cover, with the blanket of the balabais. Rashi says, why shouldn't he eat eggs? Shemavim dekari misgan al b'nei abayis. Because it can cause him to become balkari, and other people are going to be disgusted by that. The b'nei abayis are going to be disgusted by the fact that the guest messed up the sheets with balkari, by becoming a balkari. Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, it's worse, that the Baal Bayis is going to see the Keri, he's going to be choshed him that he was Baal, his wife. So that's why he doesn't, you don't want the man shouldn't become a Baal Keri when he's a guest at someone's house. The Rashash raises the question, so why would they makbid dafka al beitzim? There are other machalim also that are maybe they carry. I mean, we just listed a whole bunch of different foods that are maybe they carry. So why is it dafka hakpada that a guest shouldn't eat eggs? What about all these other foods? So the Rashash says, no, it's not that it's going to be maybe they carry. That's not what we're worried about. That the hakpada not to eat eggs is to swallow it whole. It's not to not eat scrambled eggs or an omelet or something. It's not to eat a raw egg. And the reason is because shichva zera, when the Gemara in Nida describes what it actually looks like, what shichva zera looks like, it describes it as the loven shel beitza, as the liquidy white part of the egg. So the concern is that he's going to mess up his begadim by eating the egg, and people are going to think he's a balkari, and he wasn't a balkari, but it looks so similar. That's why we dafka point out the egg as opposed to anything else. It's a chiddush, but that's what the Rashash suggests. That's why we say the egg rather than anything else. But this basic etiquette over here, lo yishum b'taliso shel baal habayis, the pasha pshat, forget about the egg, but lo yishum b'taliso shel baal habayis seems very clear, as Rashi says, shum eschas ba b'yom shel yom tzolah keri, you don't want the baal habayis to find keri on his sheets. So a person should when a person's a guest somewhere else, bring along your own whatever, towel or whatever, that there shouldn't be keri left on the sheets of the baal habayis. Rav ki mitlu l'darshish machris man havya liyoma. When Rav came to Darshish, he would announce, man havya liyoma, who's gonna want to marry me for a day? That's how Rashi says it. Yeah, well, it's clear in the Gemara in a second. Yesh isha shetinasi li liyoma. Is there a woman that's willing to marry me for one day? Shesakev kan, that I'm going to be in town. Vetetze le'achrami kan, and you know I'm going to leave afterwards, and then I'll leave you behind. But right now, just to marry you for a day. Rav Nachman kadmikla le'shachnatziv machriz man havli liyoma. Also, Rav Nachman, when he went to Shachnatziv, also he said man havli liyoma. Apparently, the idea is that it's not good to be away from your wife. So a person is away. day, so he should have a wife. So he would want to marry someone for one day. But Tanya Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer lo yisa the misha b'medina zu v'yelech v'yisa isha b'medina acheres shemi yizdavgu ze eitzel ze v'nimtza ach nosei achoso u'mele kol olam kulo mamzerus u'mele kol olam kulo mamzerus v'azal nemar mula arzima. Wait a second, the Braisa says it's a very bad idea to just marry women in a whole bunch of different places and keep going from town to town marrying different women, because you're going to have children with all these women. The children are going to meet each other one day, they're going to want to get married, they're going to marry each other, they're going to have children, all those children are going to be mamzerim, mala aret zima, and it's going to be this man's fault, because he's going around from town to town like an NBA player, and he's impregnating women all over the place. So that's it's a bad idea. So a person shouldn't go in from town to, you know, and say, I just want to marry someone for one day. How are they allowed to do this? How is Rav Elazar, Rav Nachman allowed to do this? How is, I forgot already, who we just said, Rav allowed to do this? Good, so says the Gemara, Amri Rabbanan, Kala Islahu. So Rabbanan say, no, the Amri Rabbanan Kala Islu. When the Rabbanan do this, so everyone knows everyone knows who their children are, because they're prominent people. So everyone knows who Rav's children are. Everyone knows who Rav Nachman's children are. So you don't have to worry that Rav's children are going to marry each other. So that wasn't a problem. Vama Rava, but wait a second, there's another problem over here. Tavuali Nase Vinispaisa Tsrichaleshiv Shivinakiim. Once you already were Tovea, a woman to marry you. Once a person gets, let's call it, Machlok Shoshana, how to translate this, but once a person arranges with a woman to get married to him, so she already needs to sit Shiva Nikiyam, because there's something called Dam Chimud. We assume that the excitement of the wedding itself is going to cause her to see Dam, so she needs Shiva Nikiyam before he could ever sleep with her. So what's going on? Rav comes into a town, says, who wants to marry me tonight? So as soon as a woman decides, I do, she has to wait Shiva Nikiyam before he could sleep with her, and he's out of town already the next day. So how's it ever going to work out? So what were they doing? They were never allowed to be with the wives anyway. So says the Gemara, Rabbanan Odui have a modul who Mikadim have a Mikadim Mishadri Shlucha. The Rabbanan in advance, they would plan their itinerary in advance. So they would already send in advance, 7 days in advance of them coming to town. If anyone's interested in marrying me for a night, I'll be in town in 7 days, so now it's time for Shiva Nikiyam. So a woman would volunteer and she would sit Shiva Nikiyam. The Ibayisema, or Yechudei Havim Yachdu Luhu, Lefishein Adomi Mishayish Lepas Pesalo, Mishayin Lepas Pesalo. Or it was Yechudei Bealma, as Rashi says, Vein Niskakim Lehen. They didn't actually sleep together. Elisha Nasu Yisha, Ein Mesavik Mishayin Loisha. But his taivas wouldn't be as great because he was married. It's someone who has Pas Pesalo now, because now he is married, even though he's they're not actually going to be able to sleep together. So what does it mean, Yichudei? That Yichudei Bialma. So the way Tosfos understands Rashi is that Yichudei Bialma means they would have Yichud together. They would be alone together, but they wouldn't actually have Tashmish together. So that, and they couldn't have Tashmish together because she was a Nida. So Frek Tosfos, wait a second. Tosfos and Yichudei Bialma have Miachdilu. Pirush Rashi, Loha Yubayin Alein El Misyachtin Imam Visulo. The Hikshari, so the Ri has problems with that. Im Kain, Kivin Dasun Lavola, my Pas Pesalo Ika. The whole point is that he has Pas Pesalo because he knows he could always sleep with her if he wanted to because she's his wife. But if they're not allowed to sleep together, so then what's the Pas Pesalo? There is no Pas Pesalo. What psychological benefit does that have? But that's not such a kasha, because you could say pas pesalo means that he knows that all he has to do is wait a certain amount of time, and then she will be muteris to him memela, meaning she'll go to the mikvah and she'll be muteris to him. But another kasha in Rashi, how can you have yichud with her? Is a man allowed to have yichud with ishto nida? Yes. But is a man allowed to have yichud with ishto nida before he ever slept with her? The answer is no. If you have a chupas nida, the halacha is that first thing we do is we try to avoid chupas nida, both for halachic and for practical reasons. Rambam holds chupas nida is not a chupa, that it's not a valid wedding, so we don't pass in that way, but we try to avoid it anyway because it's a nightmare. But if you have a chupas nida, the logistics are a nightmare because they can't have yichud together. If you have a chupas nida, then all out of yichud together, because there is no sense of pas pesalo if they've never been together yet. So how could we allow these people to have yichud together? V'amar perakam de ksubas. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of ksubas, Misha pierced the ishto nida v'lo baal. A guy's wife became a nida and they never yet had bia. Who yashin bein anashim? Mishu yishena bein anashim. That not only can't they have yichud, the Gemara expresses it in even stronger terms, that he must sleep amongst the men and she amongst the women. Some rishonim understand that literally, that it's not good enough to not have yichud, that they each have to be guarded by other people. So lahachi pirushri dechi amri man havi liyoma lo amri man havi liyoma li ba'el el yichud ba'adavi alma v'kimin shayom lem kach rak liyachid imayim lo yiroz dam machmas chimud. So the Ri says, no, when the Gemara says liyichud ba'alma, it means that when they would say, who wants to be with me for a day, it wasn't mean, who wants to have bia with me. They would say, who wants to be miyachid with me? And they wouldn't mention anything about bia. They wouldn't mention anything about tashmish. And therefore, there was no dam chimud. And mele, tashmish became mutter. Meaning, then it all became okay, because they didn't mention anything about tashmish. A little bit difficult, because they can only have yichud if they get married. And getting married, the dam chimud is tavua linasei, because it's understood that with nisuin there's a physical relationship. So it's very difficult to understand what that means, that just because they would only mention yichud, so it wouldn't be a problem. Says Tosu, but anyway, the kasha from Ksuba is not such a kasha. Maybe the whole idea of not being able to have yichud when it's a chupas nida is only if the guy was never married before. But if the guy was married before and his yetzer hara is not quite as strong, maybe there's no iser to have yichud. And he proves from the context of that Gemara that it's clear that we're talking about a bachur in that Gemara, because the Gemara talks about hayitvachu tavuach, the whole wedding was prepared. Umeis aviv shel chasan o ima shel kala. Why does it talk about aviv shel chasan o ima shel kala? Because they're the ones that are running the whole wedding. If the guy was married before, then they're not the ones that are doing the whole wedding. The guy will arrange his own wedding if he's already an older person who's been married before. But a guy who's never been married before, that's where it's Avi Shal Chasan O Ima Shal Kala that are really in charge. Okay, so that's Tosos. Now, another critical issue over here, though, is this Dam Chimud issue. What exactly is this halacha of Dam Chimud? Tosos over here says, when the Gemara asks the question, the top Tosos says, when the Gemara asks the question, Ay Tavul Inase, she needs Shiva Nakiyim, how could he sleep with her that night? So Tosos says, why don't we just answer that we're talking about Ketanos, that we're not Higiyas Manaliros, that we're not yet of age to become a nida. So Tosfos says no, that the din of dam chimur applies even by a katana. That's how seriously we take dam chimur. Even post menopause, we assume that there's dam chimur. Dam chimur is across the board. There's always dam chimur. So Tosfos says when tavoli nasev yashra shiva nekiim v'kolos v'shiva barka shachras v'arvis v'tavla v'lo nivla. Tosfos points out that dam chimud, it doesn't go away after you count shiva nekiyim. Meaning, let's say a woman it's tavol inase and it's 3 weeks before the wedding, so she counts shiva nekiyim, goes to the mikvah, now she's ready to get married. So says, but she's got 2 weeks to wait. Says Tosfos, she still has to continue to do bedikos during those 2 weeks, because the dam chimud, the concern that she might see dam during that time, is a legitimate concern. So what do we do, bismaneinu, if dam chimud is a real concern? So a little bit about dam chimud. First of all, in our Gemara and many other Gemaras, it seems very clear, nidat of samach vav, it seems very clear that dam chimud is an issue and it is metame a person. However, the Gemara says in Nida Daf Chaf Amud Beis that Ifra Hormiz was a non-Jewish person, but somehow kept the laws of Nida and sent a bedika cloth to Rava. And Rava looked at it and said, no problem, it's just Dam Chimud. So it makes it sound like Dam Chimud is not a problem from that Gemara. So it could be he held that a guy doesn't have to worry about Dam Chimud, but it sounds like if it had been Dam Nida, then it would have been a problem. But Dam Chimud is no problem. So the Ran over there writes, the Ran in Chidush Aran to Masech Nida says that there's no halachic difference in Dam Chimur and Dam Nida. He was just trying to show off his expertise. You send me a bdi, I can not only tell you whether it's Tameh or Tar, I can tell you exactly where this, I can tell you what you ate for dinner last night. I mean, he was trying to show off how good he was at looking at Maros of Dam, but not that it has any halachic nafkamina when he said that it's Dam Chimud. The Ran also says, no, maybe Dam Chimud is different than Dam Nida, and maybe it should be Tahar, even Midrabanan, but Chazal assume that when a woman sees Dam Chimud, that Mistama, there's some Dam Nida mixed in. And Rava had such a level of expertise, he was able to look at and say this is pure dam chimud and there's no dam nida there at all. But maybe in a chinami, dam chimud alone, if it were ever to appear alone, it would be only dam chimud. Arzura says dam chimud is tahar midaraisa, it's only tame midrabanan. bottom. That's the difference. That's what Rava was saying. That was dam chimur, and therefore is only midrabanan. Now there is a machlokas about historically when dam chimur was instituted exactly, because it sounds from Megillas Rus that there was no issue of dam chimur, because Rus came to Boaz at night and she's told that she's going to marry him in the morning, and apparently everyone was okay with that. So at least in times of Tanakh, dam chimur did not yet exist. So there's some discussion as to at what point dam chimud came into being. But the key over here in the whole sugya is, how do we define tavua li nase? What does it mean tavua li nase? At that point, you have to worry about dam chimud. So many poskim assume that tavua li nase means when we sign the tanaim. So l'chora, that would be a big problem for us if we assume it was when we signed the tanaim, because we signed the tanaim about 20 minutes before the chuppah. So if that's going to cause dam chimud, then every single chuppah wherever that is a chuppah's nida. So that would be highly problematic if we assume that it's when we sign the tanaim. So other posts can assume that it's whenever all the money is taken care of, whenever both parties agree to all the monetary arrangements. So when they go out, then they put out the non-refundable deposit on the hall and the photographer and the caterer. So that's when the dam chimud would take place. So that's a while before the wedding. So the rush holds that even if the tavul inase takes place much closer to the wedding, he thinks that as the wedding, meaning that as the wedding gets closer, there's a greater chance of dam chimud. The Rashba, however, and I'm taking all these marim comments from Rabbi Sabalovsky, Sefer Anida, the Rashba says that as soon as there's tavul inase, the woman should wait shem nekim, go to the mikvah, become tahora, and if she gets her period 20 days before the wedding, fine. So let her count shem nekim 15 days before the wedding, those shivan akim would be fine, and she doesn't have to worry for any dam chimud, because it's automatically okay. The Rush says no, more like Tosfos, that as you get closer to the wedding, there's a greater chashash of dam chimud. You're going to go to the mikvah 2 weeks before the wedding, and then you have dam chimud to worry about for the days in between. So the Rama writes la halacha in Yerodeh and some Kuftzadi Beis that a kala should go to the mikvah no more than 4 days before the wedding, and during those 4 days between the tvila and the wedding, you don't, that much, such a short window of time, you don't have to worry about dam chimud. That's what we pass on halacha. So that's where do you get 4 days from? So we got 4 days from is that the Gemara recommends that that a couple gets married on Wednesday. So presumably they went to the mikvah on Tuesday nights. Now they continued that minhag of going to the mikvah on Tuesday nights even after, in the times of the Ramah, the minhag had already changed as to when to get married. People started getting married on Friday because they couldn't afford a Shabbos meal and a wedding meal. So they get married on Friday so that the Friday night meal would double as the wedding meal as well. So if they kept the minhag to go Tuesday night to the mikvah and Friday night was the wedding, Friday was the wedding, so that's 4 days. So that's what the Ramah says. 4 days we could assume is not a problem of dam chimud. Therefore we don't do bedika. Most achronim assume that we don't do bedikos after she goes to the mikvah. Okay, so that's how we generally assume. We generally assume that women do not become nidos from dam chimud after that point in time. It happened before then, so we take care of it when she goes to the mikvah. Says the Mishnah, Masru zikne bezin lezikne kuna veheluhu beis lebeis haftinas. The zikne bezin then give over the kohen gadol to the zikne kuhuna. They bring him to the beis haftinas vishpiu v'niftru v'holchalem, and they make him take a shvua, and then they go on their way. V'armelo, and this is what they say to him: Ishi kohen gadol, anu shlucha bezin v'ata shluchenu. Sir Kohen Gadol, you are our shluchim, and we are. We are the shluchim bezin, and you are our shluchim and the shliach bezin. V'ata shluchenu v'shliach bezin. Mashpiin anu alecha b'misha shachan shmo b'bayis hazeh, and we make you take a shavua by the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shalot eshana davar mikol ma she'amarnu lach. That nothing, you shouldn't do anything different from all that you were instructed in terms of how to do the avodah on Yom HaKippurim. And that's the shvua that they make him take. And the reason they made him take that is because there were a lot of tzedukim that were kohanim gadolim that would be mishana the avoda. Who parish ubocha v'hein porshin ubochin? And he would leave that conversation crying, and they would leave that conversation crying. Each one because they had to suspect him, and he because he had to be suspected. Im hayachacham doresh, if he was a talmid chacham, he would darshin. V'im lav talmid chacham darshim lefanav. Otherwise, talmid chachamim would darshin in front of him. I mean, why would he be learning now. So Rashi says Shloishan v'irakeri. It was all to keep him awake. Some people learn to be able to fall asleep. So in order to keep him awake, he would sit and learn. So v'imragi lukros kore, and if he was good at learning Tanakh, so he would say over pesukim v'mlav karen lefanav. And if he couldn't say over pesukim, they would read the pesukim to him. Ubameh karen lefanav. What would they say a shir in? What would they read? Which pesukim would they read to him? So they'd always try to pick something interesting, something that will keep him awake. Be'iyov, be'ezra, be'divrei yamim. Everyone has a different idea of what's interesting. So Zechariah ben Kavutal Omer, Pam Harbe Karisi Lefanav B'Daniel. Zechariah ben Kavutal says, a lot of times I used to read Sefer Daniel, and I found that very effective, to read Sefer Daniel to keep him awake. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see the Gemara tomorrow.